I set to work creating a full contingent of goblins, not giving them mithril, but still filling their weapons and armor with powerful enchantments. That way, if they were killed when they stepped out, a human wouldn't make off with a nearly indestructible material.
I'm going too, Cal. I don't trust these people to get the job done without some serious goblin power.
Denny, no. If you feel you must go, I'm going to be setting your armor and weapons to maximum. She circled the spawn room as I formed a goblin Amazon. I didn't bother to set her armor to the side. I formed a seamless set of aluminum around her towering form. Danny entered the huge mob and took a deep breath as I flooded the aluminum armor with essence, pleased as it darkened to a silvery purple. Mithril. She prepared her weapons and nodded as I swung the door open. There were a few shouts as a dozen goblins and one goblin Amazon entered the area, but they stayed right next to the door and didn't make any hostile moves, so the humans calmed down fairly quickly. Tail, I have a matching battle gauntlet for you. Actually, I am equipping your whole group. We are going through the tunnels to a different fort that didn't have the defenses lowered, so hurry up! I was looking for the best place to move the group to, and I found one close to the entrance of this floor that wasn't entirely flooded with infected, just mostly flooded. The group started moving hesitantly past the steel-clad goblins and very cautiously past Danny's over-armored form.
Wait, I'm coming with you.
Dale and I looked at the speaker, watching as Hans strolled up to the group.
Ah, yes. Nothing like being a jackass to make people want to shower you in silver and write a ballad about you.
I am coming as well.
Me too.
Dale looked back to see both Minya and Nez.
Yes, and Abysno. Nez, you're with me. Minya, secure the defenses.
Dale leaned in close to her.
Minya, if I'm not here, you are the only one that can talk to the dungeon and get a backup plan. You need to stay.
Minya crossed her arms.
Is that really the reason you don't want me along?
No, but it works really well as a reason to make you stay.
Minya turned and stormed off, fuming.
That was harsh, Dale. We could have used her help.
Trust me. We don't want it. Let's go.
They walked into the room and found a few presents. I had made a matching battle gauntlet for Dale with a slight variation. Instead of the fluid repulsion rune on it, I had placed an essence gathering rune combined with the draining portion of the demon summoning rune I had acquired a while back. It was supposed to rip the essence out of whatever Dale hit and store it in the core hidden in the folds of fabric. For Tom, I had made a large chunk of armor. It was basically a great shield that strapped to his body. A person with two arms couldn't have worn it at all, so it was perfect for the one-armed barbarian. With this on, he could act as a mobile battering ram. I also made it enchanted so that he wouldn't need to use his personal reserves to use it correctly, and he had gotten his warhammer back as well. Rose acquired a bow with a force enhancement enchantment as well as reinforced arrows that wouldn't shatter when the bow fired them. A few arrows were tipped with small jars of explosive fluids, and there was a small collection that had sharpening enchantments for piercing armor. Adam got a white robe with a fine mesh of mithril through it, well hidden by the cloth. This would stop almost any stabbing weapon, but didn't offer too much protection against direct force or blunt weapons. Hans got nothing.
This is total. Why doesn't your mysterious benefactor like me?
Hans frowned as he twirled four knives across his fingers. Dale looked around the nervous faces.
Shall we?
They set out, walking along the tunnel to the next fort, nervously listening to the sounds of fighting, wailing, and scrapping through the thin stone walls. Periodic explosions transformed the wailing into snarls and screams of pain or fury, but the weeping would soon return to begin a constant background noise.
This is horrifying.
Dale held a finger to his lips. The noise picked up on the other side, and the group breathed a collective silent sigh of relief. Treading carefully, they soon found themselves in a room identical to the one they had begun their journey in.
It should be safe to quietly talk if you really need to.
Dale looked around. No takers.
I hate this place.
Danny, as the goblin Amazon, stepped up.
It grows on you.
Her voice made the others stare at her.
You're an intelligent being? I thought you mobs were mostly animals.
I'm smarter than you are, Hans.
Danny walked forward to the exit. Hans gave a panicked look to Dale.
It knows my name.
Danny threw open the door and charged into battle, amidst howls of outrage from the infected as she plowed into them, a whirling cyclone of blades.
Dale, I'm going to lock the door behind you so the fort isn't overrun.
The remaining people charged into the battle, doing their best to clear a route without stopping to try and set up a defensible area. They were surrounded, and their best chance was to charge the stairs. With the loss of only four goblins, they reached the bottom of the upward spiral. A huge mass of bodies greeted them that was like a choke point of the entering abominations.
How the abyss are we supposed to get through that?
I'll take care of it. Cover me.
Danny held forward her weapons. Crossing them, she released a gout of fire through a thin film of celestial essence. Holy fire raged outward, reducing all in its reach to cinders. The fire suddenly roared higher as it reached a prepared area, and a concussive blast resounded. The celestial-tinged fire raced up the stairs, but consumed all of the available air in the tunnel, burning out too quickly to superheat the stone stairs or walls.
Go, go, go!
The team raced forward and up, stepping over and occasionally in meaty chunks of semi-seared flesh. Most of the infected were writhing on the floor, burned, blinded, and dying. But a few were standing up, trying to breathe the deoxygenated air. Those few took swipes at the running group, but were killed in passing.
Danny, unfortunately, that blast cleared the way for a few mages to wander to the boss room.
How many?
A good handful. They seem more confused than the low-level infected.
Open a passage, Cal. We don't have the strength to fight a large group of mages.
The stairs in front of them slid open, revealing a few startled impalers and a glitter flit. Danny pushed past them and sat in the small room. The others joined her, though Tom began having trouble breathing when the walls closed around them.
The mages are beginning to descend. Oh, crap. Who pushed the impaler out into the...
A blast of mana shook the stairway, vaporizing the impaler and putting cracks in the stonework in all directions. The attacking mage then began glowing and charged down the stairs. Without warning, the mage ran right past them, never turning around. The other mages saw the first run off and chased him at high speed, eager to participate in the siege of the fort. They raced down, pounding their feet in a deadly staccato.
The room is filling up again. Also, easily a dozen mages just entered the dungeon. You are only going to have a short while until they reach the boss room. Move! Go now!
We need to hurry!
As they reached the top of the stairs, Dale spotted Danny's still form.
That isn't good.
The room, utterly filled with infected, went quiet for a moment before howls of rage filled the air. Reacting to the sound of prey being found, dozens of infected dropped through the opening in the ceiling. The weakest of them hit the ground and splattered gore across the room, dying upon impact. The remaining ones ran, limped, or crawled at their new targets.
Screw this.
Rose raised her bow and fired a jar of explosive oil into the crowd. It blasted a hole in the wall of infected, and the battle began. Tom charged into the infected, acting as a battering ram. He used his shield as a mobile wall. When a large group had gathered to attack him, Tom took a sharp step back and swung his warhammer. A wave of death followed the swing. The beings hit directly had large swaths of their bodies blasted into vapor, their bones flying from their still twitching corpses to act as projectiles.
I have missed this!
Dale pounded on the infected with only his cloth-covered hands, leaving behind craters in their flesh. An arrow from Rose ripped through everything from her to the wall in a straight line, tearing through bodies and armor like paper. Hans was jauntily strolling along, poking enemies with the casual grace and disregard for his own safety. Hans threw a glance at Nez.
If you don't mind, could you start clearing the area?
Nez walked up to Adam and killed the infected man near him with an efficient stroke from his longsword. The goblins got into a tight group and made their way to the center of the fallen quartz plate. They pushed the infected back, slowly clearing the savages away from the rune. Danny left the quartz and began walking toward the tunnel that connected to the room. Taking a deep breath, she forced essence along her weapons. They began to glow slowly as she built up the essence to levels that became visible to the naked eye. Her breathing increased in speed, and she laboriously held her form, forcing the essence to the utmost compression. She released a torrent of holy fire, and it surged down the tunnel. The infected in the tunnel simply exploded into ash.
Now, Cal, drop the security door!
Danny collapsed as a 5-ton chunk of cursed earth granite slammed down, cutting off the only tunnel into the boss room. Infected still jumped down from above, but now there was only one direction for the enemy to appear. In the tunnel, infected were shattering their centers as they raced into the molten tunnel and had their limbs melted off. Explosion after explosion rocked the corridor, and the rock began to crack. Adam stepped onto the quartz plate and pulled a huge jar of reagent from his dimension bag. With steady hands, he used the built-in nozzle to begin pouring the viscous fluid along the lines of the inscription. He bent down to fill a deep portion of the rune, and Dale used him as a springboard to punch a sprinting infected in the face. Adam straightened up.
Done!
Adam suddenly noticed that the rune wasn't doing anything.
The activation sequence, where is it?
A moment of frantic searching turned up the missing chunk of quartz, and Adam began filling its lines with the remaining fluid when a familiar body landed next to the rune, falling from above. The area seemed to go still just for a moment. Dale saw the face contorted by rage and shuddered. The words that left his lips caused the fight to return to its previous intensity.
Father Richard, no!
I looked in on Minya, who seemed to be doing well, shouting at the fighters left behind.
Fear death not! With each enemy slain, we increase our rewards in this life!
When a group of infected was cleared enough for me to create things, I rained down an explosion of shining gold coins. The defenders were quiet for a moment, and then all Abyss broke out. They redoubled their efforts, and with every explosion of the elements, I followed it with a hail of coins. Chandra spread her hands out over the crowd of flailing attackers as thousands of seeds left her outstretched palms, seemingly appearing from nowhere. Thick foliage and intertwined vines grew in front of their fort and the defenses holding the group of nobles. The infected were trying to attack the barrier, but were having little effect on the dense vegetation. Then, the attack portion of her incantation went off. Thousands of thorny vines sprouted from the seeds in the air, wrapping around anything moving. The infected in the area were suddenly all pinned to something. The floor, each other, themselves. They struggled to escape for a moment, then collectively relaxed, shattering their centers. The explosion was so loud that any non-mage was instantly deafened. I worked fast to collect all the essence that was suddenly in the air and within my grasp. The corruption-gathering gemstones threaded throughout my body began sucking at the air. The corruption gathered into a thick sludge that surprisingly started moving. A rune that I had never noticed before shimmered into view and whatever was on the floor vanished with a plop and bubble as it jiggled and wiggled. Then I noticed that there was a new group entering the room. One of the infected mages raised a hand and squeezed. The stone wall the defenders were attacking from shattered, spilling people into the open area. On the plus side, they had access to a sea of shimmering gold. Conversely, well, there was nothing between them and the mages. The mages started forward, moving at high speeds. One allowed himself to fall flat, an inch of space between him and the ground. A gust of wind propelled him forward, and a ringing boom trailed his passage, echoing tremendously in the dungeon. Denny, Dale, in case you wanted to know, the mages that passed you have reached the third floor and are starting to attack the fort. I need to concentrate down there for a moment. Two of the mages were tearing open small holes in reality, and bird or wasp-like creatures were pouring out of the rippling portals. These required a bit of mana constantly, unlike a magical item. Good to know that was possible to create temporary effects without needing an item. I memorized the pattern and watched the fight. A wave of light passed from one of the infected. The particles amalgamated into a spear of luminous metal. A holy weapon mage? The spear flew forward, then shattered into thousands of miniature flechettes. As the shards of spear struck, they shattered further. The mage, zipping around low to the ground, had invisible blades made of air surrounding him. He didn't bother to move his arms or give any signs of attack, simply ramming through bodies. About a foot from where his body touched them, the people would just be violently blended by whirling air. When his flying form impacted the newly ground corpses, they splattered apart, chunks of body falling to the ground. In the first few seconds, at least 40 people died. Then my pet mages retaliated. Chandra stepped forward, face twisted in a rictus of pure, pissed-off fury. She began firing thorns that intercepted the flechettes with ease. Her focus shifted as she devoted a minimal amount of attention to keeping the attack going. While her speciality was plants, she had powerful earth and water magic to augment her abilities. She popped open a water skin and drew out all of the moisture, compressing the water and infusing it with mana. With a poke of her finger, the water moved in a thin stream at unimaginable speeds. The rock wall behind the mage split in a perfectly straight line. The mage himself stumbled, then fell into two halves with a grotesque slapping, spurting as his entrails slipped out of him. Minya was going toe-to-toe with the wind-powered mage, and she was losing pretty badly. She specialized in elemental magic, and blasts of fire, stone, and water rained down upon the infected mage. His whirling wind, infused with unhealthy amounts of mana, redirected even her most well-timed attacks. Minya's skin began to tear as she was assaulted by atmospheric speed winds. She tried to leap away, but the wind caught and blasted her into the stone, imprinting her into the solid granite. She tried to scream, but even that was torn away as the air rushed into her.
Dale slowly raised his fists.
Father Richard!
The priest turned bloodshot eyes on the young man.
Dale, run!
Tears cascaded down his face as his body moved without his consent, a glowing fist soaring at Dale. Dale pushed up instinctively with his hands. He caught Father Richard's arm at the elbow, and the priest went flying, landing heavily several feet away. The man got back to his feet, totally unaffected. Father Richard stumbled toward Dale, uncoordinated as he tried to fight the invasive parasite controlling his actions. He threw another wild punch, which Dale dodged again, then landed a 1-2 combo before putting some distance between them.
Are you in there, old man?
The only response was a stumbling charge. Father Richard suddenly stopped, shuddered, and looked at Dale with clouded eyes. His steps now were smoother, and his speed increased dramatically.
Oh, shit!
Father Richard was now flying backward and impacted the wall hard enough that he stopped moving for a moment as dust rose in a cloud away from the stone. Dale looked in wonder at Tom, who had landed a full power blow on the priest as he was running. Tom was hopping up and down, shaking his hand.
Oh! Thanks, Tom.
Dale hurried to find a better defended position before Father Richard started moving again.
Sonder.
Dale flew into Tom.
I'll distract him!
Hans ran at the priest going full out, a glowing line of plasmatic fire highlighting the edge of his weapons. Hans reached Father Richard, and his body became a blur. The priest howled as his clothes ignited. He took a few swings at Hans, which were easily avoided. Hans kept moving, his blades finding every weak point possible. Yet there was no effect. Richard's body was too empowered by the mana flowing through him. Richard locked his red-stained eyes on Hans and opened his mouth to speak, but Hans landed a double kick to Richard's groin. Again, no effect.
Really?
Sonder!
Hans was thrown and was also stuck to Dale.
I've always wanted to know if mana could protect one's jumblies, but this isn't how I wanted to find out. Is that a weakness?
Tom sighed as he gained his footing, lifting the other two easily as a backpack.
He has a weird mana base. Celestial and infernal users often find odd concepts to bind to. His magic is based on the bonds between people and how they all interact. I had no idea he could use it to physically bond people together.
Just keep going!
Sonder!
Hans was separated from Tom and Dale and slammed to the ground, bound by an irresistible force.
Apparently he can bind us to more than just each other.
Father Richard stalked toward them. An oversized arrow hit Richard, knocking him back a foot. Another hit his face, exploding into flames that blocked the priest's view for a moment. Arrow after arrow impacted, but none had any more effect than simply yelling at him. He raised his hands and Rose flew to him, taking her by her throat, her feet off the ground. Father Richard raised a glowing hand to strike her.
No!
The priest paused and Rose went limp. Suddenly between them there was a glowing ball of essence. Neither of them could look away, and both were locked in position as the ball of glowing light began to dissipate.
Chaos essence!
Again, Father Richard began to shake off the effects, and again raised a glowing fist.
Done!
Adam gave the activation rune a final twist. The world seemed to end in a wave of light as a thunderclap of celestial essence imbued with a special purpose reagent tore through reality. The light formed a perfect sphere, ignoring any physical material that got in its way. At ground zero, Dale's group was blasted to the wall, damaged and healed almost simultaneously. They remained pressed against the wall as the pressure of flowing essence coursed through them. The cure was worse than the disease for the infected, tearing large chunks out of the infected as the parasite tried to abandon them and flee. Thousands of bodies caught in the wave of power simply died. The mages fighting on the third floor were slammed to the ground, and the deeply ingrained infection nearly tore their bodies to bits. Dale and the others slumped to the floor as the light vanished, as if it were simply a figment of the imagination. They looked around, their adrenaline surging back as they searched for the infected. Then Dale and the others, including the remaining goblins, eased themselves off the ground and stood on shaking legs. They stared at the destruction that was already beginning to fix itself in amazement. Adam was unconscious. Rose was checking on him as Hans rolled over Father Richard, searching for signs of life.
He's breathing!
Dale ran over, seeing huge tracts of flesh that were torn out of the mage's body. The wounds seemed to be sealing themselves, and Father Richard glowed with internal celestial light.
Will he make it?
Hans shrugged.
Anything that doesn't outright kill a mage. Well, he should have a good chance of coming back from this. It may take a while, but he should be okay.
They made Father Richard as comfortable as possible and stepped over to check on Adam. Adam's eye fluttered open, and they recalled when they saw his eyes. What had been the whites were now a shining, corrupted celestial gold.
Huh? What was that?
His affinity channel for celestial essence is beyond open. He has a higher than 100% affinity for it. His infernal affinity channel was ripped out, replaced. I don't know what this means for you, Adam. I do know that you are corrupted beyond anyone I have ever seen with celestial essence.
Nez extracted himself from a crater in the floor. Nez stretched his back and cracked his neck. Hans leaned close to Adam.
What happened to you?
The blast started directly under me. I went through the hole and was continuing up at a speed I didn't know was possible. He appeared and wrapped me in static, which drew me back down safely while he took my momentum. He set about saving me at the cost of doubling the force of his own impact.
You read a piece of his recent history off of his aura. This could be a very useful ability.
You could see the truth in a situation.
Rose helped Adam to his feet.
You could save hundreds of people who were wrongly convicted, or...
How do you feel about card games?
He has a new ability that he gained by sacrificing his body and saving all of us, and you want to use said ability to cheat at card games.
No, I want him to cheat at card games for the both of us.
Rose looked ready to explode, but Adam put a calming hand out to her.
This is how he tries to come down after a battle. joking in tough situations. I'm ruined for cultivation. There is no way I could rank higher than I am with this level of taint. He is trying to keep me calm.
Then again, this ability may be super annoying instead.
In the main boss room, I was being crowded and not in a good way.
Oh, come on. Danny, I need you down here to translate for these elves. They won't leave me alone and keep caressing the Silverwood tree in a creepy sexual way.
Cal, you want me to just drop out of the Amazon and leave this huge amount of mithril laying around?
Well, no, but...
I'll get down to the spawn room and come straight to you. I'm sure the elves will leave soon if no enemies show up.
Fine. But if they try to take the armor...
Their mana will force them to leave it there before they leave the dungeon.
Well, I just miss you. Hurry down.
I'll be there soon.
The group limped into the third floor to see scores of people crawling around on all fours. Hans stared.
What the? The floor is gold, Dale.
Hans dove at the floor.
Well, there are coins all over it.
After the group had collected coins for half an hour, they returned to the fort. The fort gate opened, and Dale's group entered. And they were met by cheers, shouts, and joyful tears. Rose was intently inspected by Chandra before giving her the okay to go anywhere again. Hans and Dale left Father Richard with the healers and joined the gathering. There was to be a small meeting of the council, but all they decided was that they needed to take a few days to recuperate. Dale looked over to see the goblins entering the small spawn room and decided to go thank them before they became enemies again. He walked over, spotting the Amazon removing her helmet. He opened his mouth to offer his gratitude when a spray of blood splashed wetly across his face. Confused, Dale looked down. He wasn't injured. He looked up to see the Amazon goblin slumping to the ground as her head rolled away. Nick from the collective stood there with an axe.
What the abyss are you doing?
Nick glanced at Dale.
What?
He picked up the mithril helmet.
Do you have any idea what this is worth?
Dale was furious.
The market on the surface is gone. How are you planning to leave? Did you forget that the portal's closed? You're gonna walk?
Nick turned with a sickly grin and held up a small enchanted vial.
No need for that. Emergency portal access lets me get where I need to go, as long as I can make it to the portal arch.
His eyes flickered past Dale as an awestruck look crossed his face. Nick shot forward, and Dale ducked into a defensive position. Dale gasped to see a shining pink orb trapped in bands of mana, coming from Nick's right hand.
What are you doing?
It's a real dungeon wisp.
You... wait. You can't take that!
Nick looked at Dale and sneered, his eyes filled with greed.
Like I care. The bounty for a dungeon wisp. I'll never need to...
Get off my...
Nick slammed the top of the helmet hard into Dale's throat. Dale bent at the waist.
Can't be having that now, can we? Who knows? I may need to come back someday.
Dale, tell Cal that I will find a way back. I promise...
The mithril-forged goblin helmet impacted the side of Dale's skull, and the world went dark. Dale woke up with a start. Someone was waving something vile under his nose.
Dale, what happened?
What?
Dale looked around. They were in what remained of the church. A bitterly cold wind was blowing through holes in the walls and roof. Amber stepped forward, eyes flashing.
Do you know who the Abyss used a highly illegal portal jump?
Realization was slowly dawning. Dale threw off his blanket, shakily stood, and tried to run out of the room. He was stopped by Frank, who had just entered.
Whoa! Where's the fire, young man?
Frank held Dale with his unbandaged arm.
Shouldn't you be in bed? You had a nasty head wound.
The person who used the portal was Nick, leader of the collective. Where did he go?
We don't know. That is one of the reasons they are so illegal. That, and also, if someone is using the portal and it is intercepted, they get cut in half.
I'm sorry, but I have more bad news. The dungeon's wisp was taken.
The group stared at Dale, nonplussed.
So a collector took a mob? That isn't uncommon, Dale.
Minya strode into the room, eyes fixed on Dale.
Are you sure?
Dale nodded.
I was there. That's why he attacked me.
What is the big deal?
When a dungeon loses its bonded wisp, its dungeon wisp, it goes insane. Its influence spreads uncontrolled and corruption becomes rampant. That is usually when a crusade is called to kill a dungeon.
Like the Cantor incident. Is that what caused the disaster?
Minya nodded grimly. Chandra gave her head a rueful shake.
This is bad. Should we take preemptive action and kill the dungeon now?
We have time, and that needs to be a last resort. If the dungeon dies, so does Dale. And so do I.
Amber looked at Dale.
I think it is time we all had that chat we've been looking forward to.
I think so.
I think I've got it, Danny. I know exactly what I need to do to enter the mage rankings. Danny?
I cast my mind about, but she wasn't in here. Something felt different. I ached. I examined myself and found the issue. There was a rip in my aura. I tried to fix it, but it resisted my tampering. I looked closer. It wasn't so much a tear as a horrendous stretch, extending so far away from me that essence was leaving, but was unable to cycle back to me. That was the part of my aura bound to...
Danny! Danny!
I flooded my aura with an amount of essence that I would normally be horrified about wasting.
Danny! Danny!
Essence flooded the world around me. Weaker beings go through short periods of rapid growth as the massive surge of power floods their affinity channels, forcing natural evolutions upon their bodies. Those that survive would have interesting changes that even just yesterday I would have loved to study, but today, I am a broken soul. Danny. Danny. Danny.
Cal?
Dale! Danny is missing. You need to help me. She must have flown too far away and gotten trapped. She's likely weak from loss of essence. You have legs. You have...
Cal, I'm so sorry. I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to get her back for you.
Dale, what do you know?
Cal, we...
What do you know?
The main boss room jumped 10 degrees as fire essence flooded the room.
Cal, Danny was taken by Nick, the leader of the collective. He ran and teleported away before we could stop him. She talked to me. She said she would find a way back to you, no matter what. She was taken? You didn't stop him? Cal, I tried. He...
The air began to fill with corruption. The light shifted from a soft blue to an undulating, patterned red.
I am going to kill you all.
Dale gave a sad shake of his head as a woman entered the dungeon and stopped before him.
How did it go?
You were right, Minya. He's already drifting into dungeon madness.
Nick, the leader of the collective, swallowed dryly as he was led into the musty castle. He would have been feeling far more confident if his escort hadn't been an infernal essence radiating demon.
The master approaches. I would offer you a seat, but I would highly recommend kneeling.
Kneeling?
Nick then turned to the demon, only to find it had vanished. He shivered as an aura of dread washed over him, far greater than the feeling had been from the demon. He turned and had to resist a scream as he saw a person standing near a wall. There were no doors nearby, so Nick had no idea where he had come from.
You dare withhold respect from me?
Nick immediately went to a knee and genuflected deeply.
Not at all, my lord, but demons have a reputation for misleading information.
The dark figure strode forward, and Nick's skin began to itch horribly.
I am told you are here to claim the bounty that I was offering.
Yes.
Nick reached into his bag and pulled out a glowing ball of essence wrapped in bands of undulating power.
It's all yours. If you have the funds, of course.
A burning stare made Nick wither again. The master made a motion, and they were surrounded by a sphere of smothering darkness. Somehow, Nick could still see perfectly without any natural light.
Release the creature. You will get your reward.
Nick wanted to refuse, but instead broke the bands of power, allowing the ball of light to shoot away at high speeds. The ball impacted the darkness and fell, only to be caught up in the grasp of the master just before reaching the floor. The master's lips pulled back in a smile that never reached his eyes.
Oh, finally. Hello, little wisp.
Let me go. You have no idea what is going to happen if you don't.
The master gave a slow shake of his head.
I have need of your services. Also, you are mistaken. I know exactly what is about to happen.
Danny vanished in a burst of shadows. Nick lifted his gaze with a weak grin on his face.
Now, about that bounty?
The master turned away. Another burst of shadows and something hit Nick in the chest. His hands flew up, grabbing at the object. He looked down as he opened the bag, then sank all the way to the floor. Nick looked up at the master for the last time.
This is even more than was promised. Thank you.
He scrambled to his feet and scurried away, clutching the dimensional bag stuffed with gold, platinum, and silver. The master nodded.
Those who serve shall be duly rewarded.
The Divine Dungeon 2, Dungeon Madness, is a Graphic Audio LLC production. Copyright 2017, Dakota Kraut. Published by Mountaindale Press, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2023, Graphic Audio LLC, all rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Michael John Casey. Performed by Patrick Boylan as Cal, Ryan Haugen as Dale, and Amanda Forstrom as Danny. With Danny Gavigan, Tia Shearer, Katie Booth, Rob Moreira, Nora Ashradi, Ryan Carlo Delusong, Matthew Pauly, Mike Saporkin, Michael John Casey, Mike Carnes, Eric Messner, Rick Rowan, Michael Glenn, Kay Alluvian, Rainer Gabriel, Jessica Lauren Ball, Matthew Bassett, Marnie Penning, Mike Carnes, Terrence Azelford, Dan Delgado, Anthony Palmini, Elizabeth Jernigan, Ken Jackson, Samantha Cooper, Bradley Smith, Nanette Savard, Matthew Schley, Christopher Davenport, and Scott McCormick. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Lauren Wood. Book adapted for graphic audio and directed by Michael John Casey. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed The Divine Dungeon 2, Dungeon Born, then, coming in 2024, The Divine Dungeon 3, Dungeon Calamity. Powerful necromancers are on the move, and the dungeon has become a battleground. Without his faithful Wisp, Cal's mind slips. A direct threat from an unexpected force causes Cal's mind to stabilize, but he doesn't know for how long. Using every resource he can muster, Cal funds a search for his lost companion. But when others fail, Cal takes matters into his own hands. Deadly situations prove to Dale that his physical and mental training are not enough, and Dale resolves to gain strength by any means necessary. Both are aware that they need to keep moving, and if they stop, their own choices could kill them. Check out this and all the action-packed titles at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for a preview of another title in Graphic Audio.
You brave red pioneers of Mars, sacrifice for progress. Your lives are a down payment for the immortality of the human race. As we move beyond Earth and Moon, the helium-3 that you mine is the lifeblood of the terraforming process. Soon, the red planet will have breathable air, livable soil, and you will be held in highest esteem beneath the sky your toil created.
Reds in our gardens. Ain't that a thing?
Darrow?
Let justice be done!
Break the chains!
Please, no!
I salute you. I love you.
My life is a lie.
From best-selling author Pierce Brown comes Red Rising. Book 1 of the Red Rising Saga, Part 1.
This is our bloody damn planet.
Through sweat and toil it was made so.
Then what will it take to take it back?
Blood.
What's what, my friend?
We want you to make our boy here into a gold.
Impossible.
Ares wants it done.
If I make him a gold, what will you do with him?
He will apply to the Institute. He will be accepted. There, he will excel well enough to reach the ranks of the Peerless Scarred.
You are mad! The Institute is not a school. It's a culling ground where the goals go to hack at one another till the strongest in mind and body is found.
I'm a hell diver of Lycos.
This is no game, Darrow. If they find out who you are, they will kill me, and they will kill your family with flesh peelers and stomp on the heads of your nieces and nephews. These are the consequences when rulers of planets are your enemies.
All men are not created equal. The weak have deceived you. This is the noble lie of democracy.
He thinks men like me weak. He thinks me dumb, feeble, subhuman. I was forged in the bowels of this hard world, sharpened by hate, strengthened by love. None of them will survive.
Red Rising, Book 1 of the Red Rising Saga, Part 1, available now in Graphic Audio.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.